Can we start? Okay. Honorable Suka.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the comfort break. I'm not going to ask many questions, but firstly, let me appreciate this presentation by the Department of Transport, except to say that surely the document need to be enhanced more because it's too broad. Would want to have more information almost on each and every page so that we have a clearer picture as to what is happening in the civil aviation branch. Otherwise, in the manner in which it is presented, you seem to be speaking to the converted or to those who understand, and yet we don't understand. Secondly, your document for me does not speak to the legislations where that you have some challenges that inhibits the progress in your expansion or on your strategy. If we could have spoken more on, even if in the existing legislations, I would have been happy. I know that you spoke about your plan that is almost on the green paper, which has not yet been unfolded, which will come to around November, late in the year, when you spoke earlier on. But surely there are other legislations that you need to reflect on, whether you don't have challenges to that, or are you succeeding, or is the environment conducive for yourselves to operate and expand more? So you're a bit silent on the part of the legislation, except to develop that development plan, NATP, I think so. Chairperson, on the issue of the targets in terms of the transformation, you are not specific to say these are the targets by for each financial year, especially when trying to bring up the disadvantaged. Because my understanding, when the chairperson was speaking around the history, the historical background, it was a historical background that was channeled by the laws of the previous government that could not make other race groups to be accessible, to access the facility thereof. And as such, I don't think she was referring to that now the disadvantaged must get some tickets. It's about the legacy and how do we turn around that legacy so that we level the playing field for everyone to play the game fairly and squarely. That's my understanding. So I'm saying this matter of the historical background must also reflect. I know transformation will take some time. It will not be done over 18 years, but surely you must have targets so that when we look back or when we measure you, we can measure you based against your targets that you have set. Now you are too broad, too vague, we can't measure the measurable on your targets. Going forward to that, my understanding would also be that you need to step up your public education in as far as your products that you have, especially also in your career pathing. Up your public education so that our learners across the board, because also I want to demystify the matter that says the whites, because not all white population benefited also in that apartheid. You know, a certain section of the elitist group did benefit, but the by and large of the white population also did not benefit in that regard. So I'm saying we need to make this matter an onus of, so that our learners, in whatever corner they are, they can feel that you are they can feel your presence. Otherwise, if you talk just of national media, either print or electronic, and you don't go to the local where the matters most, it's a doomed idea. So you need to speak more on that one. Chairperson, also on the question of the security, as you liberalize the civil aviation, you don't tell us about the dangers that are there. Is it dangerous, or if you talk of, in other terms, they talk of disaster management. But in this regard, the security of the states and of yourselves also, where do you place it? Are you not opening us up to security risks as you are signing these treaties, the in and out movement? Where do you stand? You know, because I fear if you too liberalize it, I don't want it to be equated as those who are crossing the borders because of our agreements and treaties. And whilst in the sky it's easy to fly in 12 midnight, 2 a.m., whilst we, the better part of South Africans, including yourselves, are asleep, and tomorrow we find ourselves in a serious situation. So I'm saying you need also to look into that. There is more than what you say here. The question of the budget, talk about that also. Because, look, in that budget, there is this section of the bursary for our learners. We need to check from yourselves which are those learners that are benefiting from which provinces and so on, so that also in our own areas of deployment constituencies, we can go to those tertiary institutions and just check really. I don't want to see a situation like the AB for the civil aviation of that is in Bishop now. It was in Port Alfred, that a school, only to find out it is flooded by foreigners. And no South Africans in that, because it's too expensive for our own disadvantaged communities to upgrade, to have that skill of being pilots. That school was in Port Alfred, transferred to Bishop. They are saying it's too exorbitant. By that time, it was around 100,000 per learner, and that one must pass with distinction A's of the math and science. So I'm saying there's more that we need to talk about this matter. It's not just a small thing. It's a very serious matter. You need to bring us more documents, more information, so that we are schooled. And if you say to us, we need to adjust the laws, as you are doing by that white paper that we are bringing in, you should say so loud and clear. So I'm saying, Chairperson, I am happy. Maybe it's food for thought. The start of your presentation, but in the next round, please do us a favor to understand more your operations, your challenges, the shortcomings, the successes, so that they are spelled clear, and they bring flyers so that we take them also to our schools, I mean to our constituencies, for what we are having, and so on. Thank you, Chair.
Before you respond, I also want to add so that we can conclude with the department and then move to standby. I am going to remind you, the department, of the State of the Nation Address of 2001. Yes, 2001, wherein the then president Thabo Mbeki said South Africa will need to develop the kind of skills that are needed to drive the economy. In this page, all that we can see are pilots. And I don't want to believe that in the aviation transportation industry, the only skill that is needed is pilot. I've just talked about the first-hand experience of aviation, my eldest daughter, who did not plan to become an air hostess. She chose that because of the unfortunate situation. I was sick, and the doctors were telling my family that I'm not going to recover. And she's the eldest in the family. She had to take a decision of not continuing with the course that she was doing. She wanted to be in the she was doing a course in to massage people and look at their face and beauty, yes, and produce the oils, which she was very passionate about that. But because I was in hospital and the doctors were saying I'm not going to recover, and she was the eldest at home, she decided to drop that. And on the day she was deciding that she's going to look for work, in the news, in the evening, it was announced that the South African Airways is going to employ black people. And she jumped for that, and she got employed. That's why she's still remaining in the aviation industry. Okay. And I have mentioned in this presentation, when I was on my opening remarks, that she went there unprepared. Mama Shile had to babysit them because they did not know the difference between a red wine and a white wine, dry wine, and they would cry every day in their hotel. Surely, if we look at that, we would talk about the skills around that. I also don't believe that if the cars are serviced, I don't believe that the aircrafts are not serviced. Yes, they are serviced. Now, if we then are also listening to the noise that is coming from the youth itself, saying that there are no employment opportunities for us. We have graduates that are sitting at home. We need to then reflect and say, are they taking the correct career path? Are we producing the kind of skills that are required to drive the economy? Or we are producing skills that end up frustrating people because they sit with paper qualifications and they can't enter any industry because the skills do not match with the opportunities. That's what we want to hear. So, for me, I'm not even going to go on the issue of how many blacks, how many females, how many white females are reflected here. The fact that this piece of paper talks only about pilots is an indication to me that in the department, we do not communicate with each other. Because in the beginning of this year, we called the department to come and present to us the skills development plan of the department that are related to transport. It is the department that will say what opportunities exist in the rail transportation and what kind of skills are required. It is the Department of Transport because it is the core department in the transport. That information then will be passed to the Department of Education, basic education and higher education, so that those departments can plan accordingly and identify institutes that are going to produce those people. If the Department of Transport can't speak on that, we cannot then at the end of the day expect that the Department of Higher Education will just know that we need so many civil engineers, we need so many mechanics, we need so many pilots, we need so many crew members. They will not know. It is the Department of Transport that is going to do the assessment, the skills audit, and tell the Department of Transport the Department of Education that day. These are the skills level. We have so many and we need so many. Even in terms of trainers that are required for water supply, it is not the Department of Education that will know how many trainers we need in the country. It is the Department of Water Affairs that will be in a position of saying, for this country to provide efficient water services, we need so many trainers. So, the fact that we have called the department in the beginning of this year to say, we don't know, sitting here, the skills level that we have in terms of the whole transport family, or in all the modes, we need that picture. How many skills do we have and how many skills we require? How many are we short of? The department could not tell us that. Now, we are taking you one by one. Last week we had maritime. That other week we had rail, Prasa. Today we are having aviation. Next week we are having roads, because we want to know, not only the pilots. Now, that is one issue. So, a State of the Nation address is an instruction, it's a marching order. We can't have a president in 2001 that says South Africa will need to produce the kind of skills that are needed to drive the economy. And in 2012, Department of Education doesn't know. Or if it knows, it can't present it to us. The second issue that I want us to talk about is what Honorable Suka has raised. Go and read the Auditor General's report. Both of 2010, 2009, 2010, and 2010-2011, he says the Department of Transport has got the way of planning a strategic plan, Yaga Transport, is not smart. Smart meaning specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound. That is what the Auditor General is saying. And that is very, very key. So what the members are saying here is that the presentation is too general. Sitting here, we can't make a follow-up meeting with you next year and say, you said to us, by this time, we shall have produced so many African female pilots. That's a strategy. Which is measurable, it is achievable, because when you have done that, you will then allocate the financial resources that relate to that. When you don't do that, you can't allocate anything. So that is what we are saying, that in terms of what is it exactly that we want to see as a change, we want to see the aviation transportation industry transformed upside down. Right now, when you look at this, few people who come from the majority of the population are making it into this industry. Not only in terms of pilot, in everything. When you go into a flight, you will see more whites flying than blacks. When you go to the employment, you will see quality jobs. I'm not talking about abantu nababa checka abantu in a airport, nababa checka ikhwama makhulu. Angikhulumi ngalabo. Khuluma ngomsebenzi wangempela. Hayi umsebenzi ongatholwa naye mina engafundiswa i-domestic science sengise high school. I can check it back with that skill that was given to me of domestic science. So we want that information. But also when you are planning your aviation, you should also take into consideration which sizohamba nansi ema taxi rank nibone ukuthi kunjani ngama Easter nango December, even on Fridays. Siya nani kwi border gate. You will see ukuthi kwenzakalani lapha e Bay Bridge. That planning has to speak to those things. Ukuthi what we are trying to deal with here is the issue of congestion on our roads. Is the issue of fatal accidents. Is the issue of people who would sleep for 4 days at Bay Bridge. Kenya HQ, when it's December holidays. Those are the issues. How accessible is South Africa to people that come from other African states? And are we making South Africa's economy grow by making South Africa more accessible? And how do you make a country more accessible? By providing efficient transport. That's what you are saying.
Is it my turn? Oh, thank you, Chairperson. I would wish.
Honorable Mustard,
Chairperson, it seems you are in the St. Paul Church where the air comes in and out when we are singing. I have just
Moya
spirit gog. Chairperson, I don't know if it's a question or a comment on page 7. When they are saying the aviation career awareness to the grade 10 and 12, I just want to be clear. It is all provinces. Are you sure about all provinces? If not, can you indicate to us how many do you achieve, how many not? And the other issues of connecting, Chairperson, I hear some of my colleagues were speaking about their provinces, where they come from, where they represent their community. I just want to highlight this issue of connection, because where I come from, Gauteng or Northwest, but let me speak about Gauteng. We have this a running train. I left my home at 2 o'clock when I'm going to catch 5 o'clock airline. Then I must get into the Gautrain, connecting in the O.R. Tambo. It's easy. But the thing I want to say is that Gautrain, they have buses where they can take somebody from Market Street to Marlboro or to Rosebank. Then from the buses you catch the train, from the train you just get to the airport. I don't know if you can, in future, make that plan so that we can get a really transport to the airport. While the chairperson was saying that it's difficult to other people to go to the airport, while we are using more transport to go to the airport. Thank you, chairperson.
Okay. If Bella Ugo simplify the question about provinces. See, we have 9 provinces in the country. They are not the same. We have poor provinces and we have provinces that are making it in terms of the economy. But also within those provinces that you would think are doing well in terms of the economy, there would be areas that are poverty stricken. Now, if then we all agree that we are addressing three issues, we're addressing the issue of poverty, we're addressing the issue of inequality, and we are addressing the issue of unemployment. Surely, the Aviation Career Awareness to grade 10 and 12 learners, for me, should not only say in provinces. We should begin to talk about the fact that in this country, there are 23 presidential poverty nodal points. If we relate to poverty, we will not relate to provinces. We will relate to provincial poverty nodal points because we shall be then targeting poverty. Buti, in a poor district municipality, because on that State of the Nation address, 2001, another issue came up, our president. What he, in addition to what I've said, he then said, all municipalities will need to develop a household profile so that we can know, Guti, what are the poverty levels in each household and how we respond to those. It's a very important interlink to link the skills development and poverty and profile of a household with a. When we are recruiting, as we recruit, we go to Mundu, we are Tanda, but we recruit because we are addressing a particular social problem, and that problem is poverty and lack of skill in a particular household. And the end result that we are expecting 5 years or 10 years after is that that family will be self-sufficient and self-reliant and get out of the social grant register. That is what we should be looking at. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would wish to respond to the questions presented by the honorable members. And obviously after I have spoken, my colleagues would have to come in wherever it's necessary if they feel I've left some dangling points that needs to be put there. The main issue really, yes, it's I think obviously the department has in fact in its strategies identified skills and education and training as the key priority area to really ensure that there's access to these air services, because without knowledge, skill and know-how, really we cannot ever think that we could have any transformation in this industry. And I think one other point is the department is actually working together now with the Department of Basic Education as well as Higher Education in order to ensure that all the curricula that is available and all that has been identified in various areas, be it in SAA, in South African Civil Aviation Authority, in Air Traffic and Navigation Services, in Airport Company, because obviously these various institutional arrangements that we have has got a particular skill that is actually focused at issues relating to airports management and operations, air navigation and avionics, pilotry, engineering, and safety inspectors, airworthiness inspectors, all these other categories. We have tried to make sure that this all this curricula is now packaged into pamphlets and booklets that needs to be taken through, obviously, by the Department of Education, to see the skills gap, obviously, that are there and that we need to address. I also learned the question relating to the issue of the gap between the black male and the black female. I think you would understand that really within the systems. I had also acknowledged Honorable Members Suka is identification of the fact that we have not really dealt with really issues pertaining to legislation and some of other policy matters that still actually hangs within the system that probably could be actually could cause that hindrance. The issue is one, you would know in the past, obviously, this system, since it's not fully transformed as it is, there is still that element of trying, obviously, to leave others outside. And probably, obviously, some rules, unwritten rules, that sometimes pop up in terms of selection criteria and other things. It's not about really the fact that there's poor or deficiencies in terms of our learners or the education system per se, but rather, obviously, it also deals with a person who's actually there, being actually an expert in a particular area who's still there, but we're trying to work towards actually addressing those issues in a manner that would actually vigorously be able to open up for everybody else to be able to access some of these services. I'll try to deal with this issue sometimes holistically. The awareness program. Yes, it is true, the basic education has really like taken away that guidance, whichever, on terms of career or whatever. But I think this is one area that we feel that obviously when we try to build in curricula for the aviation skills, to the education departments and basic education and even higher education, would actually be able to actually indicate that this becomes actually the pilot thing that needs to be rolled out. Because being aware, not if we don't have the knowledge of what is really happening, where some of us have actually learned or known the aircraft flying, just seeing it, and we end up owning that aircraft. That's mine, I'm the first one who saw it, but we never knew what was really the logistics that went into getting that thing in air and making it to move from one point to the other. There's quite a lot of things that happened.
They even talk that it brings the child.
Yes, it also brings sweets from somewhere. Yes, so those are some of the issues that we need to open up for our rural communities through obviously other sister departments like education, in terms of actually making sure that these things is rolled out, is made known to everyone else. Yes, we have indicated the issue of 9 provinces. Look, it's all about also resources in terms of really rolling out this. The reason why we had actually identified to do it provincially, we understood that obviously key sectors, education, provincial transport departments, would obviously form part of this program when we roll it out. Obviously, including that those other stakeholders who are part of the joint awareness, aviation awareness program, which are the police and everybody else, would form part. It's actually a system which we felt it will be able to take out everything into everyone. We identify, obviously, a particular airport through which maybe we do all these other demonstrations, like the previous one had just been in Bisho. I may not recall all these other years, but I know we have been to Polokwane. We have been to Nelspruit, Mafikeng. But every system is actually coordinated in a manner that we don't leave out key government stakeholders that would actually take forward the ideals and even the thinking of what where the transport department is thinking in that particular area.
Okay. A poster, the ruling part, the elections, located together with communities.
Yes.
Not only with other departments.
Well,
together with communities.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you for that correction, Chairperson. There is also an issue being raised on the particular delays on airlines and the inconveniences that is caused by connections and who really takes up the responsibility for that area. The delaying airline in this particular area becomes liable to the inconveniences of a passenger. We have what you call consumer protection liability, or that is actually driven by actually the DTI. We also have that principles enshrined within the transport department in licensing operators and taking the liability of such mishaps. In cases wherein an airline delays flight, or be it technical or be it natural weather conditions, that airline needs to make sure that you should be provided either a comfortable place to sleep over, if there's no other alternative connection. If there is any other alternative connection, that airline is responsible to arrange for your flight or continued flight, onward flight, to your destination. So I know certain airlines or airlines do take advantage of that knowledge being not known to the public, that they are actually liable for that. They take advantage of the passengers, but it is the responsibility of that airline to explain its arrangements in terms of the delayed passengers for onward movement. That also happens as well with the in relation to the matter raised about the Bishop East London taxi thing. It could have been some concessions that would have been entered between an airline and that particular taxi business, or either the hiring company for the distribution of that. So normally that is done through the code, through the commercial arrangements or commercial frameworks that airlines could enter into any other various other sectors, or in between themselves, or maybe enter into kinds of some code sharing arrangements wherein the ticket issued is seamless and able to connect you to other destinations. So those are issues that, if really there are particular issues happening, I think airlines themselves need to be confronted in terms of actually making sure that they cover up for whatever losses which the passenger would have incurred in his or her travel. Okay, the relationship between SAA, SAA Express, okay, SAA and SAA Express are SOEs. And Air Link is 99% owned by private. I think government is only left with 1%, if not, also on Air Link. And what happens and who decides who flies where? Obviously, like, it's a free market system, and the prices are determined by the market, and the market determines who should do what. And one other thing in terms of really the licensing process and actually allowing anyone else to fly to one other point to the other is the fact that in the airline business, the equipment you fly is very key, and the market you're going to fly is very key in deciding to that. As an operator, when you place your application before the licensing councils, which actually are responsible for these operations, the criteria is one. As I indicated, you should be financially fit. You should be able to, in good standing, that you can provide a safe, reliable, and sustainable services in that particular market. So in deciding that, there are obviously competing applications wherein people would apply to actually provide a service in a particular sector. But if you applying with a
a Boeing 777 when the market may not be actually able to allow you to operate a 777 when you only need probably an embryo to fly a particular sector. It is our responsibility as a department to ensure that we don't actually let you or lead you to fail as an operator, to allow you an equipment that will make it make you economically viable. Those are some of the criteria. And any application that is actually made before the department or the councils, it is actually scrutinized in terms of various aspects, including issues of the BEE compliance, your level of rating, your financial sustainability, your equipment you're using, your age of aircraft. Every aspect are actually looked at in terms of how we actually end up licensing you to do that. All this on commercial services. Like I indicated, air shows happens. We identify various provinces on the air shows. I think I've touched on that one. Yes, I would acknowledge to honorable members that, yes, this presentation had not been detailed to a level that probably you would have expected. I would acknowledge the fact that there has been some kind of a communication problem, which actually led us to probably getting to know about this request called by the committee at the very end.
Okay, can you press again?
Okay, thank you. Yes, the submission was not so detailed, but some of these issues that the presentation was putting here are issues that obviously are in the background. I mean, in terms of really targets that are measurable and whatever, within the triple BE, those issues and even the civil aviation charter, they are more detailed there. We could not actually really bring this into this picture. Okay. Thank you. Some of these issues that we're raising here are issues that have got a particular base document that has got actually measurable and obviously more detailed aspects, including obviously statistics in terms of how we have done, but we have tried to just make sure that we avoid having much large and provide as well boredom to the committee in terms of much detail to that, but we do have actually information to that.
You see, that first bullet, drive aviation career awareness to grade 10, 12 learners in rural schools in 9 provinces. Not measurable. It doesn't indicate how many you have reached. It doesn't tell which provinces. And it also doesn't tell which schools have responded to that. That is what we mean. It's not volumes of information, but it is information that is specific enough for us to be able to measure the progress that we are making, as well as progress in relation to the problems that we are addressing as a country. When you mention the area and you say it is in Kangala, this name of the school. This member that comes from Mpumalanga will know Ngothi is Nkangala a presidential poverty nodal point or not. And when you say so many children, you can even go to a detail of saying we target child-headed households. You are speaking to poverty. You are not giving us volumes, but you are very specific.
Not a chair. Not a chair. Okay. Some other questions raised were issues relating to issues relating to the application for Rand Airport. Honourable Member, the application for Rand Airport has been received and is actually receiving due considerations. I wouldn't want to dwell deeply into the issue, but it has both technical issues that needs to be addressed, and we must as well recall that obviously the national government, when it came into being then in 94, there has been obviously a particular restriction in terms of the number of airports, international airports, that can be licensed per province. Each province was actually allowed to have one international airport, and with an exception of Gauteng that had two, which is OR Tambo and Lanseria being privately owned. And all other provinces had to have one international airport. Obviously, that was actually meant obviously to streamline resources and ensure that we are able to provide that specific services at a particular given point, and in a streamlined manner, taking into account also security issues, state security issues, and into account, and obviously other technical operational issues that may happen. You would understand that Gauteng is quite a small, very small province in terms of actually the geographic size, and obviously the density of actually the allocation of these airports from one point to the other, if all of them were international status, the airspace is not the mass land size, becomes as well too little to provide for a number of things. I'm not giving actually responses to a particular application, but I'm saying that application is being considered, and obviously it would have to be addressed on how.
How long has it been with you?
Position.
I think it is about a month or so.
One month?
Yes, and then it is receiving the necessary attention.
How long does it take to process?
Through you, Madam Chair, I want to inform the House that the designation of international status is not the responsibility of the Department of Transport. It's a national government issue whereby different departments have to sit in and assess, you know, the application accordingly. And it has to be approved by Cabinet as well.
That doesn't answer the question. Under normal circumstances, how long does that process take? You remember when we were still toy-toying, before we came into power, we said we will get rid of the red tape, government red tape.
That's what they used to think about.
So the question again comes to the time bound. When you start that process, do you take a decision, Guti? We have to finish this task within a year, within 3 months, within 6 months, or it is open-ended?
Madam Chair, I would think that as soon as the responsible structure reaches an agreement, that is when we respond, you know, accordingly to the applicant.
So when you start, it is open-ended. It depends on them. You don't put a target by such and such a time so that they work towards that deadline.
Madam Chair, I think that will be something that we need to look, you know, into the future.
Would you allow a two-finger chairperson? It's at your discretion, I know. The question is this, ma'am, I'm not blaming you because you tell me you've only had it for 1 month. I accept what you're saying. But it's been in the system for a very long time. So we're really appealing to you as a committee to speed up this process. I understand that Cabinet has to approve it. But Cabinet's got to get it from you or from the committee. Maybe it's an interdepartmental committee, I accept that. But they can't make a decision if they don't have a document. So they need from this interdepartmental committee or from yourself the final report to say this is what we think on this issue, and then they can make a decision. But, you know, it's been a long time in the system. I don't know how long it's going to be on your desk or in your committee, and then we've got to wait for Cabinet, and quite honestly, I mean, jobs can be created, you know. Germiston is going downhill fast. I don't know when last you visited Germiston. And it's right there, the Germiston, Alberton, the East Rand, and all of that. Many jobs can be created by freeing this process up. Obviously, there's security, so you have to have proper customs and all that, and I understand that. But apart from the security issue, it's paperwork. It's long hours and hours of paperwork. And I accept the fact that the decision was taken 18 years ago that we must only have two airports with international status in Gauteng. But I'm saying to you that I think it's time to review that. And Cabinet would be empowered to make that decision if you give them the documents. But if you don't give them the documents, it's going to sit and sit and sit and sit. If Cabinet says no, well, we have to accept that. But when are we going to get these documents to Cabinet? We need some kind of indication that you will try to speed up this process and get these documents to Cabinet. If Cabinet says no, well, then I have to shut up because, you know, it's not my decision. But I really don't want it to bog down, Chairperson. We need speed.
Thanks, noted. Maybe I need to correct my statement, you know, of months and maybe say, you know, a couple of months ago. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. I'll quickly go quickly into this. There was also a concern by Honourable Member about the slot constraints in terms of outwards operation of some airlines, in particular one time Kulula. Yes, one time flies to Livingston as well as Zanzibar. Okay, I would indicate to Honourable Member how this actually works sometimes. I think I did indicate issues of the gauge that you operate, the type of market you're serving. Those are the key determinants of you actually getting into this market as an operator. And at times, being a low cost doesn't mean that you fly everyone. Some people don't like probably some inconveniences that you provide in your aircraft and enjoy actually flying the normal frilled aircrafts, and it also depends on your lifetime. How long have you been in the service? How has been your safety records? Who maintains you? And how old are your aircrafts that you operate? A customer would actually go for all this list of criteria, marking you on a checklist on what to do. Issues relating to Airlink is not actually having any deal with anybody. I believe they might be successful in their own right in terms of how they're doing their business. But also the issue of saying we actually also funding rivals to actually get a niche market over them and all this is not the correct assertion of issues. I know where you're referring to, obviously referring to the two SOEs that are actually owned by the state. I think the state has decided to take SOEs or SAA and SA Express as a strategic assets. really to stimulate the economic growth within this country. We know there could be challenges in terms of actually the fiscals and obviously some kind of operational budgets and all this. I think those are being addressed by the respective department, which actually deals with that in terms of trying to stimulate resources to be able to be profitable and recapitalizing the airlines in that particular area.
Was that actually the answer to my question? Because I can't make out what that means. And I mean, I'm not unintelligent, nor is anybody else in this room. I mean, are we funding a state-owned enterprise via tourism subsidies or tourism incentives to undercut Air Link, or aren't we? I mean, I heard that my assertion, it was not my assertion, it's the assertion that was given to a committee of parliament, the tourism committee, was, quote, not correct. But then I started hearing something about how there's an obligation to fund these airlines to stimulate something else and make sure they're profitable. I mean, I can't get through the presentation, and I certainly can't get through the answers, because they're all elliptical. I don't actually understand what has been said, and I doubt if anyone else on the committee has been said. Now, please, I want a straight answer with no bureaucratic speak, and not stuff like the matters under consideration, stuff that I don't understand. I want plain English, and I want a plain answer to a straightforward question. Please, can you direct the presenter to give me that?
Okay. Honourable Member, we are not funding any rivals through either the department or any tourism incentives. Tourism runs their own promotions independently, and whatever promotions they have to be taken up by the operators in terms of how they do their business going forward. Okay. I think to some extent I will just, by closing, try to raise that Honourable Member Suka, we have taken note of your observations in terms of this presentation, as well as the Chairperson's observations, and we would actually work towards improving the presentation to make it look smart and be able to provide you with the necessary information that you would want to see. On that note, thank you, Chair.
Thank you. While we are preparing for a presentation, I would also want to say this to the department, that our approach as a portfolio committee is to work with you in finding solutions. We don't sit back to only bring you here and ask you questions and not make any suggestions. Our approach is that we are all in this boat. If it sinks, we all sink. And if we don't want it to sink, we all work our butt out to make this ship not to sink. That is our approach. So when we ask tough questions, or we think that there isn't enough information, we do that for purposes of understanding the nature of the problem and the extent of the problem. And also, when we make inputs for purposes of making you to see issues from a common perspective. What we try to do is to show you the blind spot. And we also expect you to do the same and show us the blind spot. And the blind spot on our side would be the laws. How relevant the laws are to the objectives and the vision of the current government and the expectations of the people on the ground. And if there is no congruence in terms of the laws are not making it possible for the vision to be realized, and also for problems on the ground to be addressed, it then becomes our responsibility to identify those hindering factors and remove them. So we are not expecting you to come and present to us a glossy and a well presentation that is showing that we are succeeding, when we know which, we are not, because of the issues that I mentioned in the beginning. So that is our approach. So this is the first meeting. We are still going to call you. We are going to give you an opportunity to go and improve and beef up the information that you have given, taking into consideration the questions that have been raised. Okay. And also taking into consideration what will be presented by other people who are not necessarily in the department, but who have a passion of seeing South Africa improving in terms of the service that it provides. Okay, thank you. Now we come to the second issue of standby. Okay. And I want to pose a question to the portfolio committee. I've declared that one of my daughters has got shares for standby. And in terms of, I think it's rule 12 of members' interests, and this committee has to decide whether I continue sharing the meeting or I recuse myself.
Chairman, just a question. You don't personally have any shares in either Standby Travel, or you don't have any contractual arrangements with any of these airlines, including Santaka and the others. You don't have any contracts signed with any of them?
No, I don't. Honorable Sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. I hear what you are asking, and as such, because we are not in a selection panel, we are not we are in the business of getting information, and because it's not yourself, I would move that you chair the meeting, because it's about information, first time that we meet these people, and on that basis, Chair. And also you have declared yourself that you don't have any interest. So continue sharing, Chair. That's my view. Thank you.
Honorable Bella.
Thanks, Chairperson. Based on the answer that you have provided, I would align myself with Honorable Sugar that you proceed, Chair.
Thank you. May we now invite Standby to make a presentation. Presentation on Standby is actually on what is it that they have observed. They will speak for themselves, because both of the presenters, including my daughter, are people that have worked for South African Airways in the past.
Honourable Chairperson?
Sorry, just before we proceed. Chairperson, I accept your bona fides, and you've said that on the record that your daughter does have shares. Is it not, and I don't ask that you recuse yourself from the meeting, I think it's fine for you to be here. Is it not possible for Honourable Suka to chair the meeting as the whip instead, just so that we keep it objective? I don't have a majority vote here, so I can't say. Please don't leave the room. I think that it's fine for you to be here. It's just a request from the DA.
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.